I've had many artists tell me that. Literally last week, Betty Levette, I've written for Betty Levette, and we wrote a song together last week, and she said, I can't write a song with you. You're a real writer.
This is Scenic Roots talking writing, part two of our conversation with the gifted singer and songwriter, Kim McLean. Originally from Greensboro, North Carolina, she moved to Nashville in the late 1980s with the dream she shared with many others of becoming a performer. And while she had some success, and perhaps arguably she's having more success now than ever as a performer, for most of the time she's been in Nashville, she has been much more successful as a writer.
She makes me feel so good when I talk to her. She said, I am the artist. I can sing your song in a way that you never could. And she said, I never wanted to write, but no one's ever given me a voice quite the way you do.
Maybe we ought to think this through. Maybe we ought to tell the truth. This is the point of no return. I don't belong to you, but I guess we shouldn't talk about that now. Maybe we ought to close the door. Shut out all the world that's been before. Oh, this might be a mistake, but it's too late not to make. Oh, but I guess we shouldn't talk about that now. You can't take back a touch. You can't undo a deep emotion. Desperation comes once a heart has given in. When love's against a tie, everybody gets broken. But guess we shouldn't talk about that now.
Mamie Van Doren told me the same thing. She called me crying. She said, how did you know how to say that way? It sounds like me talking, but you said it in a way that I never could, and yet it's authentically me. And I said, I just listened to what you were saying, and I listened between the words that you were saying, and I found all the words that you were looking for, and I said them with your voice.
I wonder if you ever feel like me. There is more to all of us than what we let each other see. But take a closer look behind my lipstick and eyelashes, and you'll know I've told you everything. I have a heart. I feel alone sometimes, but I have loved, and I'm surrounded by so many.
I wanted to be, and that has been to my benefit. That's made me a living, that's supported my family, it's giving me a longevity in my career, but it has also hindered me from making, and I didn't use the word hindered lightly because I've made my own choices, but And certainly no one in the business was ever, you know, I think people want you to succeed. And they have wanted me to succeed. But in my perspective, it has been costly for me to stay true to that artistic voice in some ways, because there were times when I could have diluted. I could have diluted some of my words, some of my chord choices, some of the depths of what I was writing, and could have written more consistently radio-friendly. And I didn't choose to do that because I was writing from a place of inherent love for what I do. I write because I love to write. And, you know, if you blow a trumpet in the woods and no one hears it, did you really blow the trumpet? Well, for me, yes. If I blow a trumpet in the woods and no one hears it, I just had the joy of blowing that trumpet.
Okay, Kim, I'll go along with you on that, even though I think anybody who is even vaguely aware of you knows that you've been very successful as a songwriter, both with the gospel artists and also with the secular artists. But to go back to, I love that, the juxtaposition of Mamie Van Doren and Betty LeVette is just irresistible. Poor Mamie, you know, was almost entirely known for how she looked, and I suspect it was probably for a fairly short window that she was able to take advantage of a rather zaftig figure and you know, bounteous blonde hair. Mm-hmm. Betty LeVette, on the other hand, almost the antithesis of that, a black woman, you know, who was probably, it probably held her back the way she looked. But because of that, she has such an incredible soulfulness. And when she sings a song that you wrote, like, I guess we shouldn't talk about that now.
Yeah.
First of all, Betty would know immediately that the emphasis should be on, forgive me, I got the title wrong, I guess we shouldn't talk about it now. She'd know immediately that that's where the emphasis should be, on it. That's what that line is saying, you know, that there's this deep unspoken thing between the two people, the singer and the person that she's addressing.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty is just right inside it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You guys are a natural partnership in some ways, I think.
Yes, because we don't hold back, and it's very vulnerable, too. And she and I were talking about that just last week. That natural partnership was exactly what we're talking about. And she said, you have to be brave to write so in the depth of that brokenness. But I do adore Mamie. Mamie said to me one time, she said, I wish you had been my daughter, because I would have really been able to show you how to do your hair and makeup, and because you're so pretty, and I would have really been able to show you. And I don't know, is that a compliment or I'm a bit of a tomboy, but both of them are like either, I mean, they're old enough to be my mothers, but they're like big sisters to me and have given me wisdom in ways that I feel so blessed to have worked with them. But Mamie, if you sit and talk with her, she's got the same soul and passion as Betty, but hers comes through in her look. I mean, that is her channel. Is those looks, and what looks superficial to everyone else is Mamie's depth. That was why she called me in tears when I wrote the song. I wrote her a song called I Have a Heart, and I said some line in there about, you know, all you can see is my eyelashes and the way I dance or whatever, but I have a heart, and this is the way I express mine. And so even though they seem like the polar extreme opposite of one another, if you look beyond that, to me, I see expressions of this different ways of communicating it. But Betty is, it's like, how on earth have we had such different lives and be able to communicate the same soul? And that really is healing to me, because when she sings my songs, I feel like, well, it's similar with this interview with you. It's like, you know, we connect with certain people, and it's like, oh my gosh, you can see me. You can see me? Because I've spent a lot of my life feeling somewhat invisible, and I'm apparently not, but my experience feels that way. And it feels like the only way I've ever been seen and heard is through what I write. And I know that's not true. That's probably part of my neurosis talking. And I don't mean it in any pitiful sort of way. But it's amazing when someone can see you and express you. And so with Betty, I guess she felt like I could see her in the songs I wrote. And I felt like she could see me in the way she sings them. I felt so caught. When she sang, I guess we shouldn't talk about it now, I felt so busted. I never thought anybody would record that song. And I told the truth, and now everybody knows it.
I stood by the window, watching the runway, till I saw your plane leave the ground. I already missed you, felt a little lonely as you disappeared into the clouds. I said a prayer out loud. You're like an angel, like an eagle. I know I had to let you fly.
Funny, you know, when you were talking about Mamie, do you think that's in any way true of Dolly Parton, what you said of Mamie Van Doren?
Yes. I sang, you know, when I sang with Dolly, I walked in the studio. She sang on my record, which was such an honor and such a statement of humbleness on her part. She didn't walk in there like, I'm Dolly. And yet, these people, Mamie, Betty, Dolly, the great people, Loretta, they exude greatness with this humility, and it's so extraordinary to me that I've had the chance to work with these people on this intimate kind of level. You can't help as a writer but notice the common denominator between them all, and that's all I can really see. And when I walked in the studio and Dolly got there, I was late to my own session, which embarrasses me to this day, because it was such an honor to have her work with me. I couldn't get there on time, really. But it was because I was scared. I was terrified. And I think I walked in like 5 minutes late, and then I swung by the ladies' room to check my makeup one more time because I was scared. I was stalling. She had heard my song. And I was going to be producing the session, and she had heard the song and loved it.
All you need is hugging. And the world is just a small thing when you see. Yeah.
had her driver bring her to the studio the day before to practice getting to the studio so she could be on time. Because she didn't want to get lost. She wanted to make sure she knew the right room. That's professionalism. And I learned from that, and I've done that from that day forward. Because I thought, okay, Kim, don't ever be late like that again. But I walked in, and there she stood, and she'd been there like 10 minutes waiting for me. And but I was, the instant I walked in, first of all, she was so petite, because she's larger than life when you see her on television. So she's got on like 4-inch heels and is still a tiny bit shorter than me. And I'm 5'5". And so, but I walked in, and the first thing, our eyes locked. And she introduced, you know, she said hello and that she loved my song. And I still feel stunned thinking about that moment, because I couldn't, it brings me to tears. I don't know why. I can't really explain why. I was expecting to see Dolly Parton, the character. And she had on, we had the same hairdresser for a while, and so she wears wigs, and she talks about it. So she had on her wig, and she had on her outfit, and she looked like Dolly, but I couldn't see all that in that moment. I could only see, they say the eyes are the window to the soul. And she looked at me with such sincerity that it pierced my soul, and I saw hers. And it was the briefest moment, because we ended up in professional conversation, you know, and we got to work. But it caught my breath for a moment, because it caught my attention. And she looked at me real. She looked at me and showed me the real her, and she saw the real me. And maybe I'm assuming too much. Maybe if she were sitting here right now, she would. But I think that was a very real moment for me. And it's the same thing that I feel with Loretta, with Betty, with Mamie. But then we got busy, and she said, okay, produce me. Oh, Lord. And we went in the studio. We put headphones on together, and we went in and we sang my song that I'd written for my daughters. I have two daughters, and it was so caring and so kind. And so, yes, it feels like her outfits, her makeup, her hair, that is an expression of her soul, in the same way that Betty LeVette bends the notes. And they're using their, what our culture calls shallow, doesn't seem shallow to them. And Mamie is, she can express herself in a photograph the way Betty can express herself in a song, in singing a song. And if you look closely, you see that.
Yeah, I think the shallowness, sadly, is not in the person, but in the perceiver. And
right.
People look at someone like that, and then they just see them as a kind of sex object. You know, their appearance generates a very kind of primal response.
And, it does.
But the other thing that you were saying, which I think is kind of interesting, the reason that somebody like Dolly Parton is so successful is because she invented Dolly. Garth
right.
Brooks invented Garth, you know, as a persona. And it seems to me that for whatever reason, you had trouble with that notion. You are so honest, but you didn't have a persona. You didn't have a performance persona. You had nothing to hide behind. And so it would make performing, because I can relate to that, and it make it so incredibly difficult to do.
It did. It makes me a chick. It makes me one of them chick singers. Yeah, I fit in a different crowd. But it's interesting. Betty had trouble with that notion as well. But that was costly for her. You know, Diana Ross, she's a contemporary with Diana Ross. And if you've read Betty's book, you can hear that same struggle with her. and she has made a comeback in recent years. And when I first started writing with her, when she found the song, I guess we shouldn't talk about it now, she said, "You're going to have your day later in life like I did, because you weren't good at playing." I wouldn't say that Mamie and Dolly play a game. They're able to do that quite naturally. They enjoy it. But, you know, my mother is that way. My mother is very gregarious, and I'm just not. I'm very nerdy. I just couldn't. I felt awkward. It didn't feel dishonest to me. Like, they don't seem, Dolly and Mamie are certainly don't seem dishonest. It's very, very honest, but they're able, yes, to create, and Garth, to create the character and to be the character. And it's a form of acting in a way. And I always laugh and say, I can't sew on a button and I can't act. And I, these are two skills I don't have. And but they're able to do it because it actually is, they enjoy it. You know, I act through my writing. I could write a story about anybody and not be able to necessarily relate, but I could get into their story and tell it. So I can be that if I'm writing, you know, if I'm writing a short story or writing a song about someone, I don't have to relate to every ounce of it. I can empathize. It's intriguing, though, because Loretta didn't, she didn't create a Loretta persona.
No, that was a strength, right, of Loretta, is, right? If you go with that movie anyway, is that she was just who she was. She was too young to be anything else.
I know. My goodness, if you watch, I had just watched that Missy Spacek movie when I met Loretta in person and started writing with her, and it was uncanny. I mean, they did the most realistic job with that movie, and Loretta loves Sissy Spacek and still talks to her. They're friends, but they look alike. They have the same mannerisms. It was remarkable to me when I stood and talked to Loretta how realistic that movie is.
So Sissy would be like a daughter, I guess, huh?
Yeah, she's
that's about the age difference, isn't it? Well, yeah, you know, it strikes me that you know what you're saying. The two people who immediately come to mind, Bobby Gentry, because you recorded that song, but also Joni Mitchell. That neither one of them were really natural performers, and they weren't comfortable with it, and they got out of it as quickly as they could.
Yeah, well, I am definitely that type, and it's personality, and you can't train somebody to be that type of entertainer like Dolly and Mamie or my friend Eve Sellis. She's one of my best friends, and I write for her. I've learned a lot about entertaining from her because we've shared a stage together, but I'll never be the outgoing personality that she is. I'm not going to be that, but it took going back to school and getting just learning life the way I've needed to learn it has helped me to be as vocal as I am. Like talking to you in this interview, I feel completely free, and I feel confident in things that I have to say. I can really own a stage now, but I own it in a way. I give talks, and you know, I can own it I can have my own look. I like to wear lots of jewelry and I've learned how to have my own vibe. I don't want to get out of performing. I'm coming into it now. I love the stage now, but I used to dread it. Like, oh gosh, I've got to do this, but I don't get to sing. If I don't get to sing my own song, if I don't get up on that stage. And now I've come into it later in life, and I've got, you know, I've got age lines, creases in my face, you know, but there's an audience for me now. That I wasn't ready for when I was younger.
room in my soul. You never try to hold me down. You don't live to control me. And I love you for it, baby. You ain't afraid of the darkness. Wrap it around your line velvet. I can fall asleep beside you and trust you with my secrets. You're my safe place, where I run to find my grace. You're my north star in the night. I give you my life, my shadows and light. Shadows and we dance by the light of a candle. One silhouette whispered on the wall. Touch me with your breath on my skin. Love is air to me, baby. You are the river that feeds me. You are the fire that seeks my heart. My cool green earth and my blue sky. Love is air to me, baby. You're my safe place, where I run to find my grace. You're my north star in the night. I give you my life, my shadows and light. My shadows and shadows in the
Klein playing the title song from her most recent album, Shadows and Light, for an audience in Nashville recently. She's been writing songs for a new album in between teaching and running Hippie Chick Twang, which itself encompasses a range of projects. She has a Facebook page and a website where you can keep up with what she's doing. Her website is kimmclain.com. The third and final part of our conversation will be on the program next week. This is Scenic Roots.